thanks. Thank you. I don't take that for granted. Today we're looking at two scriptures. One is Psalm 84, and the other is a half a chapter from the book of Acts. We're going to look at Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is a prayer that actually Grace prayed as we were singing, and it was also our call to worship this morning. And I'm just going to go through that and then go to Acts. So first, Psalm 84, and as you're turning there, please pray with me again. Father God, we pray with an open heart to you, open mind to you, and humbly before your word given for us, given to us. Lord, help us to hear you, help us to receive you. And Lord, you say that your word makes things happen. And your word makes us skip for joy. Your word makes the world around us be transformed in joy and peace. And Lord, we invite you to do that today, Lord, as we attend to your word together. Lord, we thank you for your generosity and love. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 84. How lovely, how lovely, how lovely is your dwelling place, your home, the place where you are. So beautiful, Lord. So lovely, so beautiful. Do you use that word lovely ever? Yeah, lovely, lovely. What a lovely girl. But this is much more than that. Lovely is your dwelling place. Beautiful, beautiful is your dwelling place, Lord. My soul longs, verse 2, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. This is a very emotional song. And so if you're sort of uncomfortable with intimacy, with emotional expression, you might be a little uncomfortable reading this. But this is from the Lord. This is the kind of prayer he gives us to give to him, to pray to him. All right, so we'll get over that. Amen. Can you say to yourself, I'm going to be emotionally expressive. Yes. All right. Here we go. Verse 2. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, where she may lay her young. Even like this little inconsequential bird has a place with you, Lord. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those, and that's a phrase that's going to be repeated several times in this psalm. Blessed are, blessed is. Another way of translating that is happy is, or maybe lucky is. If you know anybody named Asher, that's where the name comes from, Asher. It's Ashrei, the one who does X, Y, Z. And that's what we're talking about today. I'm going to translate it here for the rest of the time as those lucky dogs. Okay, those lucky dogs. Those lucky dogs, those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Verse 5, those lucky dogs whose strength is in you and whose hearts are highways to Zion. That is, are their hearts, in their hearts, in their hearts, is a desire to be close to God, to go to God, highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, which is a metaphorical place of like desert, you know, non-fertile place. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. It's transformation around them. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion, those lucky dogs. Verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. Verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Those lucky dogs who are near you. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, that lucky dog, the one who trusts in you. Those lucky dogs. And this is what Psalm 84 says about why these dogs are so lucky. Because they get to be surrounded by beauty, loveliness. They get to experience that. They're lucky dogs because around them, God brings about transformation. deserts into springs. They're lucky dogs because as they seek him, these people within whom like Zion lives, like in whom this desire to know God resides, they are so lucky because God is so generous. Those lucky dogs, amen. How lucky it is for those people who get to be close to God. It's a place of beauty, a place of generosity, a place of transformation. Now, we have people in the scripture, and maybe you know people in your own lives who model this kind of prayer, who have Psalm 84 hearts. You can think of someone like that. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, and so we think of these people. Also in the scripture, we have these people. I think the most important and best example is Jesus. All right, Jesus models this kind of heart. But there are other examples too, and we're going to look at one who's very surprising, I think shocking. And this is where we can turn to Acts chapter 8. So please turn with me to Acts chapter 8, and we're going to be starting from verse 26. And we're also making kind of a jump in context. So now we're in first century Palestine under the rule of the Roman Empire. And this is the first like 10 years of the church after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and the pouring out of God's Spirit on our people, the church. And so there's this guy named Philip. Philip is an incredible guy. He's pretty awesome. He doesn't get talked about that much, but he's pretty awesome. That's sort of why I like people named Philip, because it reminds me of this guy. So Philip, he's a deacon. We have some deacons here. Deacons. Ow! All right, so Philip is like one of the first deacons in the church, especially there. You know, we all serve each other, but deacons are kind of confirmed to be people who like kind of lead us in this way, who model this for us. Philip's a deacon. He's also an evangelist, and he goes around preaching, doing signs and wonders, all these crazy things happening around him. You'll see this in the story that we read here in Acts 8. Later, he kind of settles down in this city called Caesarea, and there presumably leads a church, and he has kids. And I think he might have had these kids, before he settled there, but he has four daughters, unmarried, who are prophets. That's like what I aspire for as a father. Anyway, don't tell Phoebe. All right, so Acts chapter 8, verse 26. So an angel of the Lord says to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian. An Ethiopian. Now, this isn't present-day Ethiopia. It's probably like present-day Sudan. But it's in Africa. It's away from Palestine a little bit. And this Ethiopian, and Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, adds a eunuch. He's a eunuch. He's not ethnically a Jew, number one. And number two, he's a eunuch. You can Google eunuch if you're not quite sure what I'm talking or what the Bible's talking about there. He's a eunuch. And the thing about eunuchs is that they are outcasts, as you'd imagine. And in that ancient world especially. We read here, actually, well, let's continue here. There is this Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So often eunuchs were put in kind of prominent positions, serving a queen, kind of the queen's court, because, you know, they're not a threat in certain ways, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, this is very interesting. He had come to Jerusalem, a non-Jew, or at least ethnically not a Jew, maybe religiously had some kind of conversion, but a eunuch. And the thing is, he demonstrates a Psalm 84 heart. He makes his pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship at the Jerusalem temple. Now, the thing is, when you get to Jerusalem, if you're a eunuch, you get to Jerusalem, you're there because you're hungry for God. You want to be one of those lucky dogs. You seek after the Lord. You want to know his beauty and experience him. The thing is, the temple is kind of built concentrically. So in the middle is this thing, the Holy of Holies. And that's thought of the place where God actually is. Okay, that's like his inner chamber. That's God's, bedroom. That's a terrible analogy. But yeah, something like that. And then around that is like the holy place, around that inner courts, outer courts. If you're a eunuch, you're certainly not in the Holy of Holies. You're far. Actually, there's a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 23 that says, any male who has been like mutilated or castrated must be excluded from the assembly. He's not ethnically Jewish. He's a eunuch. He's a foreigner. When he comes to worship, he's going to worship from afar. Nonetheless, he is still so hungry. My soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Even if I can get just a taste of it, I'm seeking that. And I think it's beautiful. His situation is, I want this so badly, and I'm willing to make efforts just to taste it, though I know I can't really have it, though it's sort of out of my reach. And I think a lot of people are like this, actually. Not because they're eunuchs or something like that, but just because they, for different reasons, they feel a distance from God. They feel a distance from God. But there's this sort of longing. There's this, as you read Psalm 84, it's like, you know, even if you're like that, you're like, you know what? I can sort of relate to that psalm. Even though it's so flowery and I'm not given to emotional expression, there's something about that psalm that resonates with me. Because I want to experience something like divine or the light. I want to experience like a higher something. And we write songs about it, or professional songwriters write songs about it. Like, I'll mention two. Without a Noise, Without My Pride. This is for the slightly older crowd. Without a Noise, Without My Pride, I reach out from the inside. In your eyes, the light, the heat. In your eyes, I am complete. I can put a boombox over my shoulder as I say it. Another lyric. Tonight, we are young. So let's set the world on fire. We can burn brighter than the sun. Yes. Okay, so maybe, yeah, you can make a case. These are all just very poetic pickup lines, Carl. But I think they also express like a true longing for God. There's something out there, and I want to take, it's like there's a light at the end of this tunnel, and I know it's out, those lucky dogs who are close to that light, but it's out of reach for me. And it's just part of being human, maybe. This is the frustration of our human experience. That's just what it is what it is. But we have this sense of the Psalm 84. There's this thing that I know is good and satisfying, truly good, truly beautiful, lovely, but I can only get a taste of it. And I think this is what the eunuch comes to Jerusalem feeling like. And this is what happens. I'm going back to the passage, verse 28. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, so he's on his way back from Jerusalem and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And in that time, you read out loud. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him. Philip's an awesome guy. He won't hesitate. It's like, okay. So he runs over to the chariot and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch says, verse 31, how can I? Unless someone guides me. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, his descendants? For his life is taken away from the earth. In verse 34, it says, the eunuch said to Philip, about whom I ask you, does a prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? And I think the heart of his question is this. Is he talking about me? Who is he talking about? Is he talking about me? Because I know humiliation. Who can speak of my descendants? I know what it's like to live in this way. And the answer, shockingly, is not him. And Philip says, in verse 38, he opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. That is, this prophet is talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus, who can identify with a eunuch like no one else can. Jesus, who can identify with people who feel so far from God, who feel so isolated from other people, perhaps, and isolated especially from God, who see that light at the end of the tunnel and they want it, but they feel so removed from it somehow. That light is unattainable, even if we feel that longing in us. And Jesus comes to identify with people like that. He knows humiliation. Who can speak of Jesus' descendants, this Jesus who was killed on a cross? Who is this person? It's Jesus, Philip tells the eunuch. Now, who is this eunuch? I've talked briefly about this eunuch. Now, I want to add also that this eunuch, not just when he goes to Jerusalem to the temple, is he going to be treated as a like an outsider. But it's in that world generally. He does have a prominent position in his home of Ethiopia, serving the queen. Nonetheless, he is reviled. He is despised. He is not esteemed as a eunuch. He might have some power, but he certainly does not have a lot of respect. And we think about the Roman Empire in general at that time. This Roman Empire, you can read literature from that time especially, and when it talks about virtues, when it talks about vices, one of the main virtues that Roman writers talk about constantly is being a Roman man. Being a man and what it means to be like a manly man, a Roman man. And like a vice for a Roman man is to be feminine, to not be a full man. And this is a culture that this eunuch is used to. He's a wrong kind of person. He's an outsider. He's marginalized. He's despised. And this is the kind of person Luke, Philip, Jesus loves to see come close to God. That's why Luke says Philip told him the good news about Jesus. This is good news. This is good news. You who are far, who feel far from God, Jesus has come so you could be close to him. All right, amen? That's good news. That's good news, amen? All right. It continues here, verse 36. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Now, he's excited. He's excited. Philip has talked to him about Jesus and maybe probably explained something about baptism. And then this new life in Christ. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Verse 39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, this is kind of mysterious, if not spooky, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. He says, whew, he's gone. It's craziness. So it's like, some of you guys may pray for like spiritual gifts, but I don't know how many of you pray for like teleportation, but here it is in the Bible. You can start praying for that. Anyway. I'm sort of kidding. Sort of not really. So Philip was carried away mysteriously, and the eunuch saw him no more. But this is the thing. The eunuch just goes on his way rejoicing. He's not even bothered by it. He just goes on his way because he's so happy at this good news. Someone knows me. Someone understands me. And this Jesus is the one who comes from God, who came to us as a man, felt our humiliation, felt our exclusion, felt our distance from God, and bridged that distance. This chasm that was caused by all kinds of things, primarily sin and the enmity that we experience between ourselves and God. But other things too. Our pain, our just who we are, our identities, in so many ways, create this distance from God. And Jesus came to bridge that distance. He came so that people who pray Psalm 84 wouldn't just be seeking, but also finding. Because that Psalm 84, like we said, it's about those lucky dogs who get to experience the beauty of the Lord, those lucky dogs who get to be close to God, who live near to him, those lucky dogs who have transformation happen around them, those lucky dogs who feel God's generosity, who actually feel God's generosity. Those lucky dogs. And Jesus came so that we could pray like that and be satisfied like that. That's why it's such good news. That's why it's such good news. I just have a couple takeaways from this passage. One, let's remember how we were far away. All of us at one point were far away from God. And Jesus found you. Jesus found you where you were. You know, I'm sure we have all kinds of situations in which Jesus found us. Maybe not the best situations. Not at our best. And Jesus found us. He found us in our loneliness. He found us in our heartache. He found us in our frustration. He found us in our wickedness and regret. He found us. And he brought you near to God. And he filled your life with joy. And that's sort of what we do coming here every Sunday. We remember that. We celebrate it. Amen? Ow! Joy. Like, give each other high fives and stuff. Along to those same lines, there might be some of us here who, for whom that's not just history, but that's present. I feel far from God. I feel that distance. And I need someone from God to find me. And this scripture is given to all of us today. The story of this eunuch that happened 2,000 years ago is given to us today so that we can experience what the eunuch experienced. Okay, this news of Jesus that Philip gave to him is the same news of Jesus that we give to each other today. Jesus finds you. He identifies with you. He knows and understands you, even if nobody else does. He accepts you, even if nobody else does. He becomes one with you. He carries us on his back and leads us to God to be one of those lucky dogs. That's the good news of Jesus, and that's the good news for you today. That's the good news of Jesus for you today. So it's not just relegated to some, like, you know, fancy song. But it can be our experience too. You know, you can even pray that. Like, yeah, Lord, tonight I am young. We'll set the night on fire. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, second takeaway. Just as God sees our longing, God has seen our longing and fulfills it through Jesus. And we have heard that. We also are called to give it to other people. And this is our privilege and sort of like a natural thing for us. Yeah, amen. Yeah, sort of a natural thing for us. It's good news. We want to give it to other people. And so just encourage you. Yeah, there's a lot of people that we know who, and maybe it's ourselves as well, who are not the right type. And they don't maybe fit in at church, or they don't fit in, you know, they're not the type to follow Jesus. And I think that this story shows us there's no right type. You know, the wrong type is the right type. You know, Luke probably had tons of testimonies that were given to him as he was putting together this book of Acts, this history. Like, why does he pick this one? Why does he pick this one? Out of all the verses in Isaiah that he could have spotlighted, because they're probably talking for a while about Isaiah, why pick this one? I mean, I don't know, but I'm guessing, like, one possible answer to that is it's important for Luke to let us know that Jesus is one who identifies with us totally, especially with the wrong types, especially with outsiders. And this is a message that we can give as good news to people. You know, God loves you. But God sent his son to actually identify with you and understand you and feel what you feel. Carry you on his back so you can experience the Psalm 84 stuff. So you can be like this lucky dog. So you don't just have to sing like, oh, if only tonight, you know, like we're on fire, you know, maybe tonight, you know, just this one time we can experience it. But for us actually to actually grasp it and not be at a distance from it, but to be close to it and experience it and be those lucky dogs. And we can feel it and we can let other people feel it. God gives freely. And God gives generously to the wrong types of people. You know, that's what Jesus is. You know, I have a friend, she says, you know, I feel more affinity for, she's a Christian friend, I feel more affinity for people who feel sort of like marginalized or outsiders in the church than people who are like really into church. And I'm like, okay, Ms. Braggy, you know, I get it. You're like Jesus, you know. But yeah, that's us. You know, that's Jesus and that's us. We give this good news to the wrong types of people to let them know they're the right types, that this experience can be theirs. Please pray with me. I'm just going to ask us to pray in a couple ways. The first way is just for us to remember, to refresh and pray anew our thankfulness and appreciation, like our grasp of what Jesus has given to us. Beauty, transformation, grace, beauty, acceptance. These are the things that we know. These are normal parts of our life. And we're thankful. We're thankful. And just pray that, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to live as if I'm far from you. I don't have to live as if I'm far from you. I don't have to live as if I'm far from you. Because I trust in your Son. I trust in your resurrection. I trust in his death for us. I trust in his identification with us. I trust that he's my brother carrying me on his back. So I can be close to you. I can be close to you. I am close to you. Even together here in this room, we're close to you. He's right here. Let's pray along those lines. And at the same time, I invite any of you who are, you know, praying this like anew, you know, like you've not really prayed this before. And I just invite you to pray that. Jesus, I believe that you bridge this chasm between me and God. And I accept that. And I ask that you carry me on your back. And I trust that through you, I can experience what these lucky dogs experience. Beauty and transformation. Divine generosity. Let's give you a moment. Another prayer I'd like us all to pray is a prayer, Lord, give me opportunity, give us opportunity, give us courage, give us encouragement to, give us joy, you know, to share this with other people, people who are really, who could really use good news like this. Let's pray that. Father, thank you so much for being close to us. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for sending Jesus so that we could be close to you and not live far from you. We could worship you not from afar like that eunuch had to experience, but live close to you. This news that made this eunuch so joyful and thankful. This good news about Jesus. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.